Saquon. There's no question about that. And I don't know what he'll have cooked up for the Bears, but it better be aggressive.
Better be
it better be
good.
Complimentary football. You know, you right out in the introduction this morning, you talked about complimentary football, mm-hmm. the Packers, complimentary football. And if you're going to be aggressive on offense, and at one of our prop bets, I'm on a roll. It's not going to do me any good, too little, too late. But one of our questions was, if the Packers win the toss, do they defer? Do they take the ball? I said they take the ball. Our other two, my other two guys, they both said defer. They took the ball. Now it took the second drive, but aggressive. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be aggressive on offense, be aggressive on defense by all means. Because the point is you're looking to score 30 on some, hang 30 on someone and hope it's enough, and live with what your defense does. If they get a pick like they did last night or two, great. Otherwise, you're just counting on your offense to handle their biz, and defense, be aggressive, play hard. We'll take what you give us.
See, and Max saw that as a completely different scenario. He's like, that is the ultimate test of how little Matt LaFleur trusts Joe Barry with the defense. He'd rather have it in his offense's hands to start out the game than even see what the defense is going to do right off the bat.
Didn't want to play from behind.
Nope, he certainly didn't. And that tells you right there how much faith the head coach has in his defensive coordinator, I think. Now, let's flip this coin a little bit, speaking of coin tosses, and go over to the offensive side of the ball. Now, the first go around between these two teams, it was ugly. It was ugly for the Green Bay Packers. In fact, the Vikings blitzed Love last night on about 76% of his dropbacks. He was under pressure just 33% of the time. He was 18 of 25 for 200 yards at 8 yards gained per pass attempt, 2 touchdowns when he was blitzed. Now, here's the thing that I'm going to say. They did the exact same thing to Jordan Love the first go around. We know how good Brian Flores' defense is. In fact, they're a top 5 defense in this league, no matter what the rest of the Vikings team is doing. And
correct.
I will say that this defense is what's actually kept them in this, we might get to playoffs, we might actually make it with the quarterback situation and everything, because they've just been that good. Jordan Love, my goodness, was he ready for it. And here's the thing that I appreciate. Going all the way back to a couple of years ago when he had to fill in for Aaron Rodgers during the COVID game. Spagnuolo, right? Blitzed the heck out of Jordan Love. It was his first ever start, and it's given him fits. Love had a season and a half to sit on the bench and really analyze that, look for answers, work on his own craft. And I think one of the things that I find most exciting about Jordan Love is that he gets better the more he sees something. And one of the things I'm starting to learn about him just a little bit is he's really hard to fool twice. So he is obviously a good student, or he's got really good teachers, or it's a combination of both. But I can really appreciate that about him and his memory. I mean, he obviously internalizes it. It's short because it has to be in this particular league from week to week, but it is on point when it needs to be, and he really learns from the things that he's gone through in those real game time scenarios, and I can totally appreciate that about him.
You know, Maddie, my view of Jordan Love, and it's things that I've said throughout the season that I think you'll recall me having mentioned, but, and I don't mention them because they've kind of proven to be true, but the progression with really good quarterbacks is fairly common because there's only so many ways to get to greatness. And I think with Jordan Love, not saying that that's the case, but the blitz numbers you talk about, the rapid growth, those 3 years, and I said this before, if they've been done right, and it appears that they have, will facilitate and expedite his growth once he gets some games under his belt, because he hadn't played in 3 years. That's the trade-off. So for not playing for 3 years, clearly the 3 years though that he didn't play, except sparingly, showing us glimpses, was really put to good use. So I think that's important. I mean, that, because now we've seen people like, and it always seems like, well, he came out of nowhere. After 3.5 years, he's an overnight success, you know, so he built up to this point. Now to what you're, his ability to process things quickly. And I think one of the things I know I love about Jordan Love, Maddie, is that the calm demeanor isn't a facade, it isn't fake, and even if it was genuine, that wouldn't really matter if he didn't use that to its best use, which is, I'm going for the next play. I'm focused. I'm even keel for the purpose of, I don't get distracted easily. I'm living in the moment intensely to get the next drive, to get the next play, to get the next win. And I think that ability, Favre had it in a different way, living in the moment, living in the moment fun, living in the moment partying. Aaron Rodgers living in the moment, wanting to be loved. Yes. I don't know, or noticed, or whatever, you know. And then Jordan Love, living in the moment, really, to make this stuff happen. He's a focused young man. He knows how to have fun, but he's kind of cautious that way. He's kind of cute a little bit. He and Aaron Jones goofing after the game with the hats and everything. I loved it. But, I mean, this guy, we're just seeing him.
You don't
just
get that view of him very often, because he is very down to business when he's in the press, when he's in the press scrums, when he's at the podium after the games. You don't get that side of him. And maybe we will as he opens up and is with this team a little bit longer. But right now, he is just very, this is what I do, this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to be.
You know,
and
Maddie, I can appreciate that. He took that opportunity to hydrate. While he was actually having fun,
he
knocked back
I
don't know how many of those fake champagnes, but it was pretty cute. It was funny. Can we take this with Jones goofing with the bottle and spraying everybody? I mean, that was a pretty sweet moment. Now
it was an awesome moment, you know. And you know, as long as you talk about Aaron Jones, and we'll get into some of his numbers in just a moment. You know, there was that moment after the game, if you watched farther, that Booth Jr. and Jordan and Aaron Jones kind of got into it. Tucker Kraft was ready to take somebody's head off. And
I love the rookie being over there sprinting. Now, you talk about putting the hurdling ability to good use. If he would have had to hurdle someone to make a play
he would have.
You know what I mean? He would have.
And, you know, that's the one thing. We've talked about this a few different times this season because we weren't sure how this was going to go. You have to be a little romantic about how this season has gone. And when you see this team celebrate the way they were afterwards for Bo Melton, who had over 100 receiving yards, the first Packer this year to have over 100 receiving yards, the guy brought up from the practice squad.
I mean, you had him on your bingo card, didn't you?
Right? I mean, wow. You got to think that at this point, all joking aside, and with even the celebration, I mean, Christian Watson basically bear hugging him into a lift in the locker room, Romeo Doubs taking photos of him during the press scrum. I mean, there couldn't have anybody been happier for him than the rest of the receiving core, which we've talked about. This has been a trend all season. They are excited for one another. They lift one another up when they have to. They are disappointed for one another, but try to get the other one up if there's a big throw that they missed. You got to think, though, at this point, with the roster, Samori Toure is kind of the guy on the outside looking in, especially after that muffed punt. I don't know
why Nixon wasn't back there.
Bisaccia was thinking there. I mean, we've seen the highest paid special teams coordinator in the league, and sometimes you got to scratch your head at Bisaccia.
Hey, maybe he's too valuable. I swear the next best punt returner, you can ask Max when he's projecting here, Romeo Doubs.
Yeah.
The guy catches a blindfold, he makes the first guy miss. I mean, I don't need more than 12 yards and no turnovers. I'll take that. But,
it was, you know, and really, honestly, there were a lot of people I was noticing on social media upset with the defense. That was not on the defense. They did all they could to keep him out of the end zone. That was strictly on special teams, allowing that to even happen.
That was the only touchdown they scored, right?
Like, that was the only touchdown they scored. So props to the defense for holding him out of the end zone the rest of the time. Now, we'll get to Bo Melton and Aaron Jones here, but as long as we were, you know, propping up Jordan Love, I do want to say, since that Thanksgiving or the Halloween game, I guess, the first go around with the Vikings, Jordan Love is now second in the NFL in yards, second in touchdowns, third in Pro Football Focus, and third in passer rating. And you got to think that he's got one more year on that kind of makeshift deal to prove it kind of thing that they set up with him. Yeah. You got to think, though, if he can put up those kind of numbers even part of next year, or he can continue on this sort of trend, that might be a pretty giant contract for Jordan Love at some point, right?
He's playing his way into a lot of Benjamins. 30-11, is that the ratio now, touchdowns, interceptions?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
I mean, 3-1 is all pro, and then you just go from there. And I was thinking about, guy plays for 10 years, really? 300 touchdown passes? I mean, you're getting into some prolific territory, and I don't want to get ahead of everything. But you know what? I'm with you on the whole. And I said it during the week, maybe to you, I can't remember again, but I want the fairy tale ending to this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why can't I ask for that? I want that. I know I'm the media, whatever. Because last night, whose team is this? It's a young team.
It is a young team. It's a very young team.
It's the young players' team. Kraft going over there to defend the older guy, Jones. I mean, I think we know who Colby Wooden didn't look like. That moment was too big on the play he made. I mean,
no.
These guys, Carl Brooks recovers the fumble. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we've heard Tucker Kraft this year talk a little bit. You know, we've seen him develop before our very eyes. And honestly, I can't wait for that entire tight end room to be healthy. And let me just say, Ben Sims, he's kind of been that third guy out there. And I don't know where he's at on his pass catching skills. But last night, he laid out some blocks to spring those running backs and some of those wide receivers like nobody I've ever seen. And that was a guy who was a former Viking. So that had to be a little sweet for him last night as well. But there are four quarterbacks who have produced 34 or more total touchdowns through 17 weeks. Josh Allen has 42, Jalen Hurts at 38, Dak Prescott at 34. And then who do you have number four on that list? Why, my goodness, Jordan Love with 34. So, you know, I just want to continue to remind the people who were calling for his head and his job after like 5 weeks that you had to be patient. I know it was hard to watch. We were critical as well because the offense just it looked like a shell of itself. But you also had to give them some time. And the development this year has been crazy. And, you know, that was one thing that I saw kind of floating by Packers reporters over the last 48 hours or so. They've had some incredible quarterbacks at Lambeau, right? You look at Brett Favre, you look at Aaron Rodgers, and now you look at what Jordan Love's been able to put together for essentially his rookie slash non-rookie year. I don't know what you call it as a third year, but I'm critical of him sometimes too, but how about Tom Clements being able to get these guys on par? You know, I last year I had issues with Tom Clements always telling Rodgers that he was playing well and he graded him so well when obviously it was really bad. But as far as developing a guy and getting him ready and being able to make him into a quarterback, Tom Clements deserves a whole lot of credit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Tom Clements with Aaron Rodgers, he didn't want to tell the king he was naked, because it's just not good form. And I think with Jordan Love, he came back to that job after Rodgers left, which, come on, don't you think that hit Rodgers just a little bit of a zing?
Well, because, and it was Jordan Love who asked for him to come back, the way I understand it. He loved the development,
Well, if you didn't think if Tom Clements didn't think Jordan Love was worth a damn, he wouldn't have come back.
He would have went back to retirement. I mean,
for sure. Instead, he knew, you know, he knew what he's working with. And I have to say, just a quick quote, Matt LaFleur, talking about Jordan Love. He's playing at an incredibly high level. I'm super happy for him because he put in a ton of work to get to this point. I really think the sky is the limit for us. He's just showing a glimpse of what he can ultimately be.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to talk about some of the other offensive pieces here. Aaron Jones averaged 6 yards per rush on 20 attempts. They didn't lose him. It was awesome to see. I actually kind of glad that A.J. Dillon had a bit of a stinger, because when that happened, they had to play Aaron Jones more, right? And I think his health is getting better, so that helped as well. But it's always good to see Aaron Jones on the field. He also leads the NFL in rushing success rate entering this final week. He's up to almost 62% success rate, which for him is a career best. The Vikings had 0 sacks and only 3 quarterback hits. Imagine that. That line, as good as they've been.
Night.
And as LaFleur said in the locker room afterwards, how about the offensive line? And kudos to them. Before our eyes, as bad as they looked early on, they were not good. They were very successful last night in rushing attempts. They were very successful against the pass. And any time that you watch Zach Tom go one-on-one with Danielle Hunter and he doesn't lay a finger on your quarterback, you've got a good line developing before your eyes. And it's fun to see, right? Because a few weeks ago, we couldn't have talked about how good that line was.
No. I'm telling you, I picked them 27-19, and my reasoning in our little go-away, getaway before kickoff was, if the Packers, because whatever the defense does, if they play it, make them look like a rookie, great. If they don't, you know, we live with it. But what matters is, can the Packers offensive line protect Jordan Love to give him enough time? And I'm even beyond worrying and fretting about no Watson and Wicks, but moving on with it, I think they would win, and I think they'll put up, you know, some pretty good numbers. I said 27, and a little bold there maybe, but they go 33 second week in a row, and Jordan Love just as comfortable can be. He'd have a bigger night if he'd have been able to connect with Bo Melton on the one Melton drop, and then it's just fairly remarkable for Bo Melton to go over 100 yards. Oh. I mean, come on. Would have thought? I mean, it's just, it's all amazing. But the O-line, if they don't come together, and I didn't look the snap counts, I got to look Because it seemed pretty much a 50-50. I got him right in front of me here.
Well, but I know Sean Ryan was in for Elgton Jenkins for a while. He's been a little banged up with his shoulder. He's missed practice on and off. And you got to think that when the score got to where it was
okay,
easy to switch to Sean Ryan.
Sean Ryan, 39. John Runyon, 42.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's 81 snaps. You're correct, because 74 was 100%.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there were the extra snaps that he played as well, logging time. Yeah, good. You don't miss much, do you?
Well, one of the things that's going to be interesting, I think, to watch this week is going to be the Josh Myers situation, because he did get banged up there at the very end, right before the kneel down. So that's going to be interesting to see. It looked maybe like worse for wear, but obviously you're going to want to keep an eye on that against the Bears' defensive front. And then Jaden Reed's also, I think, going to be one to watch this week as well. Obviously missed part of the game with a chest injury. They did, as far as I understand what was reported this morning, they did do chest x-rays, or yesterday morning, I should say. They did do chest x-rays and everything at the facility. Those all came back clean. But he's been dealing with a chest injury and ribs for a few weeks now, missing practices here and there because of it. So it's going to be interesting to see where his status is come Sunday and what he's able to do this week. And, you know, Christian Watson, you mentioned it. We don't know really where he's at. It sounds like he's still in the process of rehabbing, and they're still trying to figure out answers as to why he keeps.
I know. It's great to see him on the bench and really being a great teammate, and he's happy. I don't want him to get too comfortable.
I know. I like him on the field.
The snap counts at receiver: Romeo Doubs, 76%. He had 56. Bo Melton, 49. Malik Heath, 46. And then Reed only had 23, but they have been able to get some bang for their buck on the snaps they did have Reed in, anyway, at least. And that happened with Wicks the week before, where he got the touchdown and just the two catches. But Bo Melton and Malik Heath, Maddie, come on. That's fairly insane. Week 17, those two guys are your two and three receivers.
It's crazy. And Jaden Reed breaking Sterling Sharpe's rookie reception record on his touchdown.
And 10 touchdown catches. Yeah, he's got the receptions and then 10 touchdown catches.
It's absolutely crazy, and he is definitely a star in the making on this particular offense. But so things to watch this week. One of the things to watch on the Bears side is their star corner, Johnson. First name escapes me right now.
Jalen.
Thank you. He hurt his ankle in that Falcons win, and so they had to take him out. But I don't know where the score was when they decided to take him out. Whether or not he'll try to play on it or not. So I haven't really heard much update.
Really good
on that.
Player
so
too. You know,
he's nice guy. Fantastic.
He laughed out loud, man. Jalen Johnson, when they had it on tape, when the media asked about Jair Alexander, he said, "What with the coin toss and the suspension?" Yeah. She laughed, and it wasn't like mean spirited. It was just he's a good dude, and he's a heck of a player. Boy,
he is. He is really good. So it'll be interesting to see what his status is this week. But you got to think, if they can spoil the Packers' chances at anything, he's going to be in there if he absolutely can be.
Yeah,
so
I have
no doubt that he'll probably be out there. So it's going to be interesting this week. And I think one of the other things that you're going to want to watch this week, and you tell me if I'm wrong, is this roster. You have Luke Musgrave, who's in his 21-day window, and he's been practicing pretty fully, for the last few days. So it's going to be interesting to see if they make a move with him or wait to see if they win this game. You got Emmanuel Wilson, who's also been practicing, coming off of that shoulder injury. So that'll be interesting. Jaden Reed would be another one to watch, as we mentioned. But Samori Toure with Bo Melton doing as well as he is, that's going to be, I think, one to watch this week as well, only because Bo Melton has already been elevated three times, right?
Yeah, he's out of call-ups.
So you either have to release him or you have to put him on your active roster. So
he'll be on the active roster.
I think so. That would be my guess. But then that means somebody's got to go, right? So it's going to be, you're going to have to watch the pieces. You're going to have to watch McDuffie this week. He went out with that concussion. Eric Wilson had to come in as linebacker. Devondre Campbell still not fully up to par. And honestly, I hate to say it because these are good dudes. Jair has, because of health and whatever his conundrum with Joe Barry is, he has not been the Jair that we know. I kind of say let him roll. I would like to say let him roll with the way the DB are playing right now. And I get it. If Jair, he's the highest paid, he's your leader. If he's healthy, you put him out there. But man.
So you know what? It's great to have the option that you can say that, and that's a viable option. It's not like, oh my God, then cross your fingers and get it. But Valentine, we just saw what they did. You're right. The reason that Jair Alexander and what he did is so just so bad. Conduct detrimental nails it because you raise issues of trust. Do you really trust Jair Alexander to not consciously or otherwise somehow sabotage and undermine week 18 against the Bears, either through an injury or saying he can go, then can't go, or some antics that might cause some other or a bad, bad penalty at a worst time? And I don't know that, I can't say he has any history of that or he would do that. And I'm not saying that as any kind of allegation or prediction, but he caused that second guessing. It's on his, it's not on me, it's on him. I'm just the observer going, I want to trust him. How much can I trust him?
No, absolutely. And I totally agree. So that's going to be something else to kind of watch this week. I mean, one of the things that we learned, though, is that this young team is able to put the distractions aside and just go out there and play ball. And, you know, Jordan Love basically said it best at the podium, paraphrasing. But he's like, we can throw it to anybody. I mean, he said it at the podium after the game. He's like, we can basically spread the ball around and throw it to anybody. And that's what he's had to do game after game because you haven't had your true number one. And honestly, I think they're better for it. And I think these receivers in the future are going to be better for it because they've had to be counted on to be maybe the guy, maybe not, maybe I need to block, but I don't know. So I'm going to go out there and do whatever I have to get somebody sprung. And so we can make a play. That's literally the attitude that I get from this team.
Well, you know, ultimate team game. It really is. And that is as modestly as Jordan Love or any quarterback could put it, patting himself on the back without intending to, we can throw it to anybody. He can work with anybody. He throw it to anybody. He doesn't seem really
It's a far different attitude than we've had before, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just such a change.
It is.
Or the heaping the praise on the one guy who is God's gift to receivers, and I love Davante Adams, and he is that. Or this, the fun story, and watching young receivers cheering and rooting for each other this way. I mean, it's a young team. They've become this. And it's a great identity. They're getting the identity now, and the identity is you have a brash, bold team that is willing to put something to good use. What they don't know can't hurt them.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I know in at the podium and in the locker room on Sunday night, Matt LaFleur said that none of this means anything if the Packers don't win this week. And to a degree, he's right. But I know that that's not true, and we all know Matt LaFleur knows that because the development that this team has showed this year with Love showing that he's the dude, that's the most important thing. That's what they needed to see. And if you want to get romantic about football, not only watching that locker room celebration, Bo Melton getting his ball, his game ball, or just watching Goody and Jordan Love go into the locker room together because Goody meets each player as they come in. And just watching Goody and Jordan Love together after that win was, you can tell Goody's relieved, and also there's a like probably a little proud papa a little bit in it. There has to be for GMs, right?
Oh,
because they watch these guys from the beginning, they see the development, they see the good, the bad, they've analyzed everything about this human being from personality to demeanor to physical traits, and then they see it all start to come together on the field. And even when Matt LaFleur talks about Jordan Love, we were laughing about it at halftime because we're like, oh, look, it's like he's talking about one of his kids because there's just this look on his face, right?
Yeah.
Like he is truly proud of what Jordan Love has put together this year and probably a little proud of himself because I'm sure it's not he's been easy for coach either, right?
Oh, no. I mean, you got to babysit the D coordinator while you're developing the next great quarterback. It's tough. You know, the symmetry to seasons, you go with Rodgers to the end last year, you lose at home, worst of all, for the chance to get in the postseason.
Right.
Jordan Love's first year this year at home, the opportunity to springboard to the postseason, which I hope they do. And I thought one of the things you talk about as identities grow with this team, and it is now, it's a young team. I mean, they're just that's the way it is with a young coach and a GM likewise who really know what they're doing. I thought one of the things of all the things Jordan Love said that I really rang true with me, I'm glad it's at home. He's talking about the Bears game. He's like, I'm glad it's at home. And he said it with a sincerity that, you know.
There's a comfort in being at Lambeau, right?
There
making
is.
The Bears come to you. Yeah.
Make Lambeau become that identity again where nobody wants to come to Lambeau. Because there hasn't been a while now where that invincibility, that cloak has been
Is this where
punctured.
We do a quick PSA to the gold member package holders? Like, don't sell your tickets to Bears fans? Is this where we have to do that? We'd love to see as much green and gold in that stadium on Sunday as absolutely possible. And you know the Bears fans always turn out, especially to Green Bay, because it's close for them. But as much green and gold, folks, as we can possibly get in that stadium, that would be the way they love it. And be loud. I mean, you know, that's still an issue at Lambeau, where it is a pretty quiet stadium, and you got your old garb who doesn't really want anybody to stand and cheer. But if you're going to cheer for anything right now, this would be the time to do it, I would think, right?
Well, like, recreate that magic of the night of the Chiefs win.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely.
As loud. Some people said as loud or louder than they've ever heard it, and with the configuration right now, anyway, for sure.
Well, and this is, I mean, this has way more meaning attached to it than the Chiefs game. It was good to see the Super Bowl champions go down at Lambeau, but hello, this is a chance for the playoffs. And let's face it, there was a playoff drought last year, and Packers fans definitely aren't used to that. So for sure. So, with that being said, Chris, we will let you go. You have a great rest of the week. We will reconvene on Friday, and we will see where we stand on injuries, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Bears coming into Lambeau on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, 3:25.
It'd be even more perfect if it was a night game, but I don't know if Packers fans have that
Bills,
kind of weight in
Dolphins.
Them.
You know, they went with Bills Dolphins instead of Packers Bears, but I get it. It's for the division title there, where if
I don't
the
know.
Bears would have been, you know, but I'm glad it's not for the division title.
I don't know if Packers fans have that kind of weight in them. It's been a long drought. It feels like a lot longer drought than it's actually been. I mean, I know it's only been a year since they've been removed from playoffs, but certainly after the offseason and everything that went down, it certainly feels like a lot longer than that. So it's going to be a fun game for sure.
Hey, if the Lions can play the Cowboys to 20-19, and you get a chance, if it's not them, the Eagles, who are beat up and searching.
The Eagles are a
Green
shell
Bay
of themselves
at Philadelphia,
right now.
Seven that versus two.
That would be fun. Well, and Jordan Love has a little experience with that defense already. And that was kind of the first wake-up call for everybody that maybe this guy should be starting, you know, when he had to
Darius
go in for
Slay,
Rodgers.
Darius Slay, he can sling it.
It should be fun. All right, so we won't get too ahead of ourselves. So
good stuff.
Just on to the Bears. Just on to the Bears.
You bet.
Thank you so much. You have a great week, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Bye-bye.
Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, hanging with Hovel here on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Got nothing against the big town. Still hayseed enough to say, look who's in the big town. But my bed is in a small town. Oh, that's good enough for me. I was born in a small town, and I can breathe in a small town.
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM, another great edition of Hanging with Hobble. Remember, Chris is going to join us again Friday morning, same time, same place, as we talk about that matchup with the Bears and perhaps a trip to the playoffs for this young Packers team. Billy Joel now.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girl, start much too late. All the sooner or later, it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built two temples and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done, only the good die young. Send up a signal, I'll throw you the line. The stained glass curtain you're hiding behind never lets in the sun. Darling, only the good die young. Whoa, 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 whoa. I tell you, only the good die young. Only the good die young. You got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation. Better, but I say it ain't. I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. You know that only the good die young.
Max FM.
Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. Save yourself a whole lot of money and shop local. Stretching that Christmas cash by shopping at MaxFMBigDeals.com. Savings up to 50% off and a new store to tell you about. Amber Lux Consignment Boutique, a $25 certificate, only $17 when you go to MaxFMBigDeals.com. Name brand women's and children's clothing, purses, shoes, and jewelry. You got to check it out. Instant download available with that one, too. It's Prince, When Doves Cry on Max FM.
Dig, if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this? Dream if you can, Cordia, an ocean of violets in bloom. Curious poses, they feel the heat between me and
finish for Big Love. There is Fleetwood Mac, maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. Thank you so much for joining us on your Tuesday. Hopefully your day is going well, just trying to get back into the swing of things after a couple of weeks of a whole lot of holiday fun. A little easier said than done, isn't it? Now, if you're thinking about catching a good movie over the next few weeks, because, you know, things are slower now, it's a little cloudy, a little cold in the great state of Wisconsin, we want to do all that indoor stuff, there's a few good suggestions at the box office, including Wonka, which earned almost $30 million over the four-day holiday weekend, bringing that Timothée Chalamet starring musical to a gross of $140.2 million globally. It's made nearly $400 million already. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom continued to underperform with just $23 million for the four-day weekend, putting it in second place. The animated adventure Migration landed in third place with $22 million. The musical version of Alice Walker's classic novel, The Color Purple, earned just about $15 million over the four-day holiday. The romantic comedy Anyone But You, starring Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, rounded out the top five with $11 million. Now, the 2023 box office topped $9 billion, which is a huge improvement on the $7.4 billion from 2022, still far below though the $11.4 billion in revenue from 2019, which was the last pre-COVID year. Got to think, though, all of those streaming platforms that we're able to get our hands on changed things a whole lot for the box office. Still some movies, though, need to be seen on the big screen, don't they? Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. I mentioned it, clouds sticking around for the next few days, temperatures staying right in the 30s. We'll tell you more about that next here on 99.7 Max FM.
Welcome back and Happy New Year. I'm Tony Lorino. As TV gets ready for a new season, we're celebrating all things TV later tonight on Throwback Nation Radio in a little different way. It's called the TV Binge Brackets. All of those theme songs we love from back in the day and the shows we still love to binge watch could score you $500 to pay off one of your streaming bills. Join us, find out, play, and win later tonight, starting at 8 on 99.7 Max FM.
A little birdie told me it was time for your mammogram. I'm Laura from Medical Imaging at Reedsburg Area Medical Center. Has your provider been chirping at you to get a mammogram? Scheduling your mammogram is now easier than ever through your Reedsburg Hospital MyChart account. Now that's something to tweet about. Of course, you can also call us for an appointment at 768-6229. Let our caring mammographers take you under their wing. Reedsburg Area Medical Center, going beyond the expected in breast health.
Ray Magliazzi here for eBay Motors. You're driving along and some nimrod cuts you off. You hit the horn. Jeez, it sounds like a goose in distress. Time to head over to eBay Motors. They have horns for every make and model, not to mention horn pads, steering wheels, wiring, and more. 122 million parts. You can even go for an upgrade. That looks like Mr. Cutoff Man needs a new seat cover. Try eBay Motors, pal. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
Nestled in the southwest corner of Minnesota is the beautiful community of Worthington. Worthington is surrounded by beautiful farm fields and is home to an 800-acre lake. Worthington has great fishing and is the county seat of Nobles County. Thousands of acres of public hunting are all around Worthington, Minnesota. So if you love the outdoors, if you love lakes, if you love hiking and biking, you're going to love Worthington, Minnesota. We've got all kinds of business opportunities and housing opportunities too. So come see us. Maybe stay with us because Worthington, Minnesota is worth a look.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue. Without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla. Because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Patchy fog is possible early, otherwise cloudy today with high temperatures into the mid-30s. Also, some breezy winds gusting up to 15 miles per hour and staying cloudy tonight as we fall to the upper 20s. Tomorrow will start off cloudy but become mostly sunny by the afternoon. Still owe the IRS? Call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
99.7
Now I have the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before.
Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
'Cause I had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you.
I've been waiting for so long, now I finally found someone to stand by me.
I can see Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey on my screen right now. Maximum Hits, 99.7 Max FM. We're just getting started with a 50-minute music hour. Coming up, we've got Madonna, also Pat Benatar. Tears for Fears on the way. Right now, it's 38 Special. And Finn's in next to take you through your midday here on Max FM.
See it all around.
80s, 90s, and more.
Oh, wonderful!
99.7 Max FM.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm working, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll